Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny today. Today's topic is going to be a fun one. We are going to talk about, is it really true, Johnny, that you can get banned on Amazon for one single item? A lot of resellers usually start on other platforms besides Amazon. Always hear the horror stories of, well, I don't want to go sell on Amazon because there's a risk of getting banned on Amazon for one single item. So I'm going to jump in first and Johnny's going to take over here and just answer the question. Can you lose your account on Amazon for one single item? The answer is yes. We'll dive a little bit more into it, but I'm curious, Johnny, your thought process when you were coming from eBay to Amazon, the risk, the scary Grim Reaper knocking on your door, the chance of that happening every single day. Like, what was your mindset going into it? And like, are you still worried like on a daily basis that you're going to lose everything?
Yes. And to the daily basis, going to lose everything. Also, yes. I think the fear of your livelihood on what we do when we're dependent on somebody else's platform, it's always at risk. I don't care what platform you're on, whether it's Amazon's, eBay, Mercari, Posh, Etsy, whatever. You have to play by their rules. And if they feel justified or unjustifiably so that you are not, they will issue you not even a 2 weeks notice. You're just gone. Bye-bye. Thank you for your, or they don't even give you a thank you. They just say, you know what? You've been bad. We don't want bad people here. See ya. That's how it works. And yeah, it's scary, but if you get caught up in that and get absorbed into that, and I see this a lot with new sellers. They're terrified. They are shaking in their boots. But it's just a matter of following the rules, and the odds of it happening is not 100% that you're going to be safe, but they are much, much lower. In the back of my mind, I'm like, well, do I have a job today? Let's log on. Okay, still good. Let's get to work. Let's get to work. We got work to do, Mike.
That's so funny because it's so true. Like, I personally, I don't have that mindset anymore. Like, sure, it could happen, but I know there's ways, as long as you don't do anything that's like absolutely against, you know, terms of service within Amazon, but like you can get jammed up. You have to understand the risk with Amazon. And for those that, you know, hear the horror stories and maybe don't sell on Amazon. So say, for example, you want to sell a, I don't know, we'll do two different examples. So I'll do the book one first. Everybody knows textbooks. Textbooks are the riskiest media items you can sell. A lot of larger textbook companies, Cengage, Pearson, McGraw, the big ones everybody knows, right? They all have lawyers on retainer. And what happens is they go in to their new best-selling textbooks that they're selling millions of dollars of every single year to college kids. And if there's somebody like me or Johnny on the listing, even though it's a used textbook, you still don't have the rights to sell that item. They will basically ban you for one single counterfeit without a test buy. They don't even have to buy your item. It's automatically counterfeit to them because they want you to prove to them that you have authorization from Pearson, Cengage, which you do not have. 99.9% of people do not have that. And they hold your account hostage. So they tell Amazon, I don't want Johnny on this listing unless Johnny comes directly to me and speaks with me. So what happens here? Johnny says, well, I still want to sell on Amazon. So he reaches out to the lawyers and they say, well, Johnny, we see you're doing six figures a year. So we're going to need a $20,000 check from you. And then we'll think about lifting that mark on your account so that you can sell again. So that is the book example. Yes, this happens. I mean, I'm not in all of the book selling communities, but I'm here to tell you on a weekly basis, there's somebody that loses their account over one book. And I mean, can you blame them if you're new and you send something in? You don't have the funds to go pay off the textbook company. And who's to say it doesn't happen again? Doesn't happen again. And it's the same way when you sell new branded products. I'm wearing a Puma track jacket, right? Well, I'm selling Puma on Amazon. And Puma all of a sudden says, well, we don't want Joe Blow's selling our, Puma gear. We don't know if it's real. We don't know if it's counterfeit. It affects our customer, our brand image. So we don't want nobody selling it no more. So they take everybody down, same type of situation, counterfeit without test buy. If you have thousands, tens of thousands of dollars invested, you're up the creek without a paddle. So there is a lot more nuances, and it is kind of scary, but there is ways to mitigate risk. But for some reason, we don't want to, we're so greedy to make that extra money. I mean, think about it. One book, Johnny, one stupid book, even if the profit's $300, $400, $500, you lose everything for that $500. You got to be out of your mind. Why not mitigate the risk? And there's ways you can still make money on that. You can sell to companies that will sell it on Amazon that have the authority to do it. You don't personally have to do it. So I struggle with this idea whenever I see somebody that gets jammed up for selling a textbook, because I've been saying it now for over a year and I sound like a broken record. Just don't do it. Pass the risk on to somebody else. But we can't get over that initial mindset of, well, I need to make this $200 today. And then you don't realize, oh, all of a sudden you're gone. You wake up, like Johnny said, and there's a big orange bar that says your account has been deactivated. And you're like, boom, gone, out of everything.
Right, and it's not worth a singular item. And then it's the here's the fun thing how that works usually. They want a paper trail. So you go to your distributor. Either you have an invoice, you ask for an invoice, give it to Amazon, and Amazon will come back at you. Okay, great. Now we want your distributor's invoice, and that's where you get kind of screwed, because nobody wants to give up their source, really.
And even that, well, like most people that sell on Amazon, they're just going to retail stores or thrifting. So that shit don't cut it on Amazon land. They want actual, like Johnny said, sure, you got your invoice. Well, what about your supplier's invoice? And then what about your supplier's invoice? These brands, some of these brands are ruthless, and textbook companies are way up there. I just don't know why we take the risk if we can mitigate it, pass it on to somebody else. But it's real, dude. Like you can lose it all for one book, and it's crazy to think, right? You got 5,000, Johnny's got 20,000 items sitting in Amazon. He wakes up, all of a sudden he's gone. Then you know what they're gonna do? They're gonna send all them books back to him, and they're gonna charge him the removal fees of $1.50 a piece to have them all sent back, all 20,000 books. And listen, they're not going to put them all in boxes together. You're going to get 20,000 separate, way too big boxes showing up at your front door over the next 6 months, all because we decided to take a risk. And I kind of pride myself on having people be aware of the risk and doing things, because I don't ever want to say something to get somebody banned, right? Like, I don't want to put somebody in a situation where if they decide to do something, there's a chance you're going to lose your account. I'm in the opposite mindset. Sure, if I'm going to take some stupid risk like that, then I keep it to myself and be like, yeah, sure, I'll decide to sell textbooks, but I'm not going to tell everybody to do it. But that's the reality of it in the Amazon space. It's not talked about enough. Like, a lot of people's business models are a lot more risky than you think, but you're never going to hear it talked about, because if I'm trying to push content or push, X, Y, and Z software, X, Y, and Z, this or that, then of course you're not going to say, hey, you can lose your account over one item, because who in their right mind would start a business that one day, one book or one, track jacket ends your selling career?
Right, and then we have the new items on Amazon, right? We know where we got this book from, this DVD from, this CD from. It ain't new. I mean, there's some questionable things of what new means. I mean, me and Jack were looking at one listing once. It was a Stories of the Bible set, right? It's a gigantic set. It's from the 80s. We are in 2024,
It
and
ain't
we're
new, dude.
seeing new on the listing. They're like, there's no way this is new. There's no, where was it? Where was this thing? Was this in the back storage closet of the facility of the printing press that somebody just pulled out recently? There's no way this thing is new. So people and resellers is what I mean by people send these items that are old, no way possible as new items in, right? And it's like, no.
It's the appeal. It's the same thing like you always talk about. A lot of people speed, only a very few get caught. So we live in this realm of, well, I see everybody else doing it. Like everyone, there's still plenty of people we have over in the group that sell textbooks, right? I'm just like, you do you, right? Like, oh, well, I've been selling textbooks for 30 years and I never got jammed up. Well, guess what? That one time you do get jammed up, don't come crying to me. Like there's ways, in my opinion, where there's always risk. I'm not sitting here saying you can have an Amazon business with zero risk of ever getting banned. Even if you own the brand you're selling, like there's still ways you can still get jammed up on Amazon, right? There's no 100% safe way to
You're
sell on Amazon.
manufacturing your own product. It's yours, and you can still get banned.
You can still get banned. But I think there are ways we can heavily decrease this risk and not be, don't let it scare you. Like I think to myself, like if I never jumped into Amazon and like I still was the everything eBay seller, like how different my life would be. So like I understood the risk. And as times pass, like Amazon, you know, it's kind of like seasonal, right? They'll like things change within Amazon. What they're cracking down on, or you know, this new publisher, this brand is now gating all their products. So it's an ever-changing like market out there when it comes to account safety and account health. But you can avoid a lot of this stuff. But we're so greedy for that profit, man, for that bolo that we're willing to just bet it all. Roulette wheel spinning around. All my money's on number 7. I got a 1 in 36 chance or whatever it is of it hitting, and it's not going to work out.
I feel like it's, if you're familiar with the Bible, the apple, the knowledge tree, and it's the temptation, right? So here's the analogy of a reseller. We're scanning all these books, $2 profit, $3, $5 profit, and then bam, here's a $150 profit. What is it? You flip it over. It's a textbook. You have it in your hand. Do you send it in? It's right there. You've been scanning crap all day, and here's this precious little gem, $100 plus profit book. Yay. Do I put it in the box, Mike? Do
It's
I put
evil.
it in the box?
It's evil. You're 100% correct. It's evil that the most profitable books usually are textbooks, but there's the one thing that can kind of just get you shut down in a day. So,
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at gotolister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
I asked myself, like, how much in profit does that one textbook, and what's the risk, right? So, like, if I run it through, like, you know, they got things now where you can check if it's how often it is counterfeited. So, like, if it's a highly counterfeited textbook, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I got to put this in a box and send it. And there's like a 50-50, maybe even higher chance I lose it all. Like, how much in profit does that one textbook have to be? It's got to be six figures for me. It's got to be six figures, but yet here we are sending in $10 profit textbooks that run you the risk of losing your account. When I'm sitting here telling you, it's got to be probably $250,000 profit textbook for me to send it in.
Yeah, it's that, well, here's a year's salary for them to forgive me for my sins. And I go sell on another platform kind of money. Yeah, exactly right. It's got to be big money. But no, it's the temptation's so bad because you're getting all these low margin profit books. And then all of a sudden, bam, here's the big winner of the day. It's a textbook. It's hard for it to leave your hands. It is. And you have to set it aside. And decide what else you're gonna do with it. You're gonna send it to a textbook company. You're gonna send it to a buddy of yours who's decided to play that risk. You're gonna try to sell it on eBay where they're a little bit more forgiving there. And speaking of eBay does have bureaus, which are verified rights owner thing. Like, yo, I'm the owner and I do not verify this is real. You can get a couple of those before they ask to show you the door with security and all that. But it can still happen on eBay if you do it enough. If you get four or five of them back to back, ooh, that's a bad time. Sometimes it's just a cease and desist, like, you know, just take your listings down. Other times it's like, nope, you're gone. Bye. You see a little bit more prevalent in clothes because clothes are counterfeited, just like books. But I've taken a look at the Vero list. There are book publishers on that list. So if you're selling books, textbooks on eBay, you may want to take a look at that list, just saying.
I hate to tell people too, like, you know that book's real, right? Like, you went to the local bookstore and bought it, or you even went into like the Cengage bookstore if they had one and literally bought it. They don't care.
Nope.
It is not their responsibility to care about you. They're protecting the rights. That's what they get paid to do. They're on retainer to do. And guess what? Amazon has to protect themselves as well. So you might think Amazon's a big bad wolf. Well, they don't want the liability of selling counterfeit goods because then it falls on to them, right? Like, does eBay require you to get insurance at any single point in your business, like Amazon does?
Not how you think, but if you're selling high ticket items, it has to go through that eBay vault thing, like with shoes and watches and stuff. Like I think it's like 2,500, maybe $5,000 in value. And eBay is wanting to verify that. However, the verification program, they will, if it fails their verification, bad things happen. So you got to be careful what you're actually sending in to these people to get verified. It's not like they're verify. Well, people think of it as they're going to authenticate it for you. And no, well, yes, they are, but they will give you a naughty warning. Don't send us counterfeit stuff again. But bad things can happen to your account too if you're just sending them like boxes of counterfeit stuff too. So, but again, eBay's a little bit more forgiving than I think Amazon is,
Oh
and.
yeah, dude. It ain't even close.
Right. At least with eBay, you have a chance to talk to a human, even if it's through a chat program. Amazon, I feel like it's botatized. Like all the robots are making all the decisions. No human beings making the decisions. I don't think. I could be wrong on that.
It's like I think about it this way. When like you're investing and like they're like, what kind of portfolio do you want? Risky? Little risky, moderate risk, low risk. So Amazon has theirs turned up all the way to low risk. They don't want to take any chances on their brand being sued or liable for anything. So what I was kind of talking about earlier was once you do 10K in sales a month on Amazon, they require you to get insurance that is verified and uploaded into Amazon Seller Central. So there's no ways around it. You can't skirt this. It's because if something happens, some kid chokes on the book Johnny sent in, you have some type of insurance to be able to settle that because Amazon is not going to take responsibility. So there, I think Amazon plays it super safe, and I don't think they're wrong for doing this. And sure, it sucks because every once in a while somebody does get in one of these situations where, you know, they're innocent. I'm innocent. Well, in Amazon land, you're guilty until proven innocent. It's not the other way around. But it's just a part of the ecosystem because there's so many people selling on their platform. For every person that's doing it right, like there's somebody selling the 1980 book set as brand new when you know there ain't no shot that is brand new. Even if it's been sitting in somewhere where the temperature, like a wine cellar, it's a perfect temperature and humidity for books, it is still not brand new. And maybe they should do more to kind of not allow sellers to do that, right? Like, because the argument is, well, why would they let me sell it if I couldn't sell it, right? Like, that's the first thing you get from people that get in one of these situations is, well, why did they let me send it in if I couldn't do it? Well, it's not their responsibility to hold your hand through every little step of every little process.
And speaking of the insurance, when I first had to sign up for it, I had a warped sense of humor when filling out the registration. I just imagined, what is the scenario where a book kills a human? And Final Destination just went through my head, like they're up on the ladder. They're trying to put it up on the top shelf. You see the bottom screw of the bottom leg of the ladder start to slowly undo because of the weight distribution on the ladder. Then they slip and fall, and then they impale themselves in the eye with the corner of the book, and they're dead. This is why I need insurance, I've decided.
And they actually check it, like they actually run it through consistently. So like you have to actually have valid insurance. eBay does not require sellers to have business insurance.
No.
So it's just a different ball game on Amazon. And I don't want it to turn, you know, people away from selling on the platform, right? Because it's changed my life. And if my business existed on eBay, it would be a whole lot different. Maybe it'd be better. It'd probably be worse if I had to just take a guess. It'd probably be a lot worse just because I know the workload that goes into eBay. I know the hours you have to put in, the processes you have to build. So for me, it was 100% worth the risk. And for me, It's the reason I still probably mainly do social media and YouTube is to show people that you can do this for years and years. You can make a career out of this as long as you're willing to mitigate your risk as much as you possibly can. That's all this comes down to. I want to have the less riskiest portfolio out there on Amazon so I don't get myself in one of these situations. Sure, if I do, there's ways you can get out of it, right? You can hire a lawyer, you can pay thousands of dollars to write a POA, SOPs, everything like that. So there is a way out. Some cases, as long as it's not like a flagrant violation of, terms of service, you can get your way out. But most people that wind up in that situation, they don't know where to start. They don't have the capital to kind of get themselves out of it. And it's tough, man. And it is, Johnny said it can be scary to think every day, one day you're here, the next day you're gone. But I mean, that's anything in life, right? Like, you walk out and a bus comes out of nowhere, final destination style, and that's the end of the line for you.
Right. I mean, and it's just where you go from there. And well, not in the death scenarios. Like if you come in and your SOL platform no longer wants you, well, you probably go out sell on another platform. That's what most people do. Most of them just swing into eBay and they hate it and they try to find something else they could do. But no, I mean, there are plays to be made and it sucks. It's like starting over essentially, right? I mean, you may have the supply, you may have a pile of books or media in front of you to deal with. Okay, well, let me play the reseller roulette platform wheel. Mercari, let's go there. Fine. Mercari doesn't work out. Well, you try, okay, do the wheel again. Etsy. Okay, let's go try Etsy. You try all these things till you find something that works. If your platform of choice gives you the your less than 2 week notice. Well, because no notice really, you're just gone.
I
But
don't think people realize this though, because that's normal jobs too, because most states are at will employers. So that means you can show up to work today and they can say, "Hey, Johnny, I don't like that hat you're wearing. You're fired." That's all you can do. You're out the door.
yeah, we're gonna need your lanyard. You know that company shirt you're wearing? Oh, and that cell phone, we're gonna need that too.
Fun story. We're going off the rails here. When I left CVS, it was around Halloween time and we had like those standing skeletons. So I put my CVS shirt on and I pinned my name tag on them. So the skeleton had store manager Mike's name tag on them. But yeah, like we think, oh, reselling, one day you're here, one day you don't have an account anymore. It's the same with any other job, right? So as long as you understand the risk, understand how to play the games, you can use this to your benefit. You can make a lot of money. You can prepare for the worst case scenario. You think, I wonder, there's got to be somebody out there, and hopefully they somehow listen to this podcast and they reach out to me. I want to talk to the reseller that's been banned on every single platform,
Oh man.
all of them.
I mean, I don't want to name names on the recording, but I got a short list of possible people that have been banned on every
I
platform.
mean, every single platform, and I just want to hear their reselling story and what got them jammed up. I mean, when we had Tech on, he talked about, getting his ban on Amazon for a board game. That it's
And he's
scary.
the most above board guy there is. He takes zero risk.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and he's like, "Yeah, I got the Target receipt." They don't care, right? Like, they don't care. You can buy it from Amazon. It's the brands that are cracking down on this type of stuff. And Amazon is always going to side with the brands because they don't want the liability. You wouldn't either if you had a reselling platform. You wouldn't want random dudes like me and Johnny selling your stuff, especially in used condition. Who knows what type of condition people are sending stuff in? Because I've seen TV shows like Hoarders. I've seen plenty of resellers' garages on YouTube. They ain't the cleanest people. All right. I'm just saying,
I
no
like to roll
offense.
around in my books before I box them up to Amazon.
Hey, all I'm saying is some of this stuff that probably winds up in these Amazon warehouses, that's why they don't let you sell used clothing and used whatever, because all of a sudden customers are getting, fleas and everything else, dude. You wouldn't want somebody selling your stuff either. Especially if you didn't know who it was and if they were legit.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's interesting in the disc media side, like new sealed with the security label and the Y-fold things. So those come up pretty more than you think, honestly. And it's like, well, I bought this from the flea market. I know it's new. It's still shrink wrap with books. They don't shrink wrap books for those who've never sold books before. I mean, they do occasionally, but by and large, a new book is not shrink wrapped, honestly. So it's like, is this new? It looks new. Looks never read before. Do I send it in as new because I can get a $20 bill instead of a $10 bill? So there's temptation there, even outside of textbooks. It's like, I know
Yeah,
where I
dude.
got this from, but $20.
It's true, man. It's there for the taking. It's just how much risk do you want in your business? You can sell it as new. You can sell textbooks, sell every single one. You can sell every book as new. And they won't stop you from sending it in and selling it, right? But the risk that comes with it, you have to ask yourself, do you want to make this a long-term play? Do you want to continue making money? Or is those few new items or those few textbooks worth everything? And for me, the answer every single time is no. 100% of the time, the answer is no. My risk needs to be as minimal as it possibly can be because the majority of my income comes from my reselling business, which is Amazon. I can't afford to just one day wake up and not have the account, especially for one single item, unless I'm getting 250 G's for it, which will never happen. Then I mean, I'm passing every single time, and it's not even, I don't even debate it anymore. Like, maybe when I first decided to stop selling textbooks, I'm like, man, this is like a $50, $60 book. But we have ways, right? Like, you can sell it to another company that'll pay you in PayPal within the week for that item. Sure, you won't get the full $60. Maybe you only get 20 or 30, but you're still making money, and they take the risk. You're not taking it at all.
Yeah, exactly. Why risk everything? And then oh, what was I gonna say? So but the difference between new and used, I mean, we see the premiums the new guys get, right? I know those people that are on the new listing. I see it a lot. They're not new. They're taking the risk. And you know what? I do think they are ultimately gonna get burned in the end. Because every year we see them get more and more strict. And I think this year we've seen more, at least publicly stated, Section 3s. That's the you need to prove what you're selling is legit violations that Amazon sends out. I think we've seen more Section 3s this year, at least publicly verbalize the community than we've ever seen before. So they're cracking down, and I think that can only compound as the years go on, honestly. There's only so many warehouses. They want legitimate things in their warehouses,
Yeah,
honestly.
we're moving towards a world where the brands are more protective than they've ever been. They don't want stolen merchandise being sold, fake merchandise being sold, and you really can't blame them at the end of the day.
Right. If they call me out for an invoice right here tomorrow, I'd be like, well, I don't got it. I buy from here and there and everywhere, right? So probably as my career goes on in Amazon, I need to protect myself a bit more in that, in all honesty, because I do think they're cranking up the violations and my number will get called one day. It's not if, it's when. I think
Yes.
everybody's going to have a when moment as time goes on.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're gonna wrap it up here. Can you get banned for one stupid item on Amazon? Yes.
Yes.
Are there ways you can kind of mitigate that risk 100%? Will you ever be 100% safe? No, but this is a part of it. I mean, John even said on eBay, it's the same thing. You understand what your risk tolerance is, regardless of what other people are doing. I can't say that enough. Just because you see Joe Blow selling Nike, selling textbooks, doesn't mean it's A-okay for you to do it. You don't know what kind of supplier they have. You don't know what kind of invoices they have, what kind of bankroll they have if they do have to hire a lawyer. So just keep that in the back of your mind. That's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.